Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induo Rampal Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello and welcome again to Bible Issues. I am reading from Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, which says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So Jesus is telling us that we ought to be the light of the world. So how can we, as imperfect Christians, be the light of the world? If we all look at our lives, we know that we are far from perfect. We know that we have so many flaws, and some of these flaws are so glaring that we often wonder, how could we be the light of the world? How could we, as imperfect Christians, shine the light of Christ? Those of you who are sports fans will remember 3 years ago that Germany beat Argentina in the final of the World Cup. Now, Argentina was boasting at the time the best player in the world. And some people believe that Lionel Messi is not just the best player in the world, but probably the greatest player of all time. And he was in the Argentine team. Yet, Germany was able to beat them in that final. There is not a single German player that you could name that was anywhere near as good as Messi. Yet, Germany won the match. So, that tells us one thing. In order to be the best team in the world, you don't need to have the best player in the world. And the same thing is true of the church. We could shine the light of Christ. The Bible talks about a heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel. The vessel doesn't have to be great. The vessel itself doesn't have to be heavenly. It's the treasure that is inside the vessel that has to be heavenly. And the vessel is not impressive, it is nothing to talk about, but it is able to hold a heavenly treasure. And that is how the Bible describes Christianity. I remember when I was growing up, there was this lady who, in our village, who had some kind of demon thing that her family used to mind in the back of their house. And they would feed it with blood sacrifices once a year or whatever the time period was. And I'm not exactly sure what is the name of it. Some people call it a buck. Some people call it something else. So whatever the actual name of it, I will just refer to it as a demon thing. So she had this demon thing that supposedly would protect her family, would go against her enemies. And it was in her family for a long time. It was passed down to her from her father. And she was perceived in the village as being this powerful person that nobody would want to interfere with because of this demon thing that she had. But one day, that demon thing turned on her own family. It possessed one of her daughters. And the very first thing she did was show up at our doorstep asking to speak to my mom so she could pray for her. And my mom told her outright, "Look, you have this demon thing and you expect God to protect you?" Now, my point is this. As powerful as that lady was perceived to be, she saw something in my mom that told her, "I need that lady to pray for me when I'm in trouble." Now, was my mom perfect? No. But there was some light she saw in my mom that convinced her that lady is a child of God. And you're in trouble now, you need her to pray for you. So we may not be perfect, but we can be the light of the world. And even though we have our imperfections, we have our faults, we have our flaws, people can see Christ in us. It is possible. When you look at the church today, there's so many flaws. Christian husbands are not necessarily the best husbands in the world. Christian employees are not the best employees. Christian families have the same problems, the same divorce rates as non-Christian families. Christian businessmen are not the most upstanding necessarily. There are exceptions. There are exceptions. But generally speaking, if there's somebody who is a Christian businessman and also a pastor, that's the last person I would want to do business with, based on my personal experiences. And again, there are exceptions to the rule, but sometimes these people turn out to be the most crooked people you ever met. Christian politicians, again, they don't exactly give Christianity a good name. I've run the BibleIssues.org website for more than 15 years now, and I've had people from all over the world writing me, commenting on my articles, asking for advice. And just recently, a lady wrote about her husband, her ex-husband, who she claims was a Christian, but he was abusive. And she's telling me that Christians don't have to marry other Christians. She is convinced of that, because based on her experiences, she was married to a Christian and he turned out to be abusive, and she came away with the idea that Christians don't have to marry Christians. So I told her, now you have to understand, I'm not a pastor, so it is not my job to coddle people. I tell people as I see it. And I told her, listen, I could quote for you scriptures, at least two scriptures that say Christians should marry other Christians. But I'm not going to do that, because I've been doing this for a long time, and I already know exactly where you're coming from. Your problem is that you are making your experiences higher than the Word of God. So you're saying the Bible says such and such, but my experience was this, therefore my experience is more important or higher than what the Bible says. And from my experience, from the time somebody reaches that state, it is just a downhill slope towards backsliding. You are on your way to backsliding if you haven't already done so. You're assuming that your husband was a Christian, a genuine Christian, and two, you're assuming that you are a genuine Christian, which you're probably not. That's the problem with the church. There's so many unsaved people in the church that they often give Christianity a bad name because they come across as Christians. Now, how could we shine the light of Christ? And it is true that there are many people, many prominent people, who have given Christianity a bad name. But yet, in spite of that, we who are the genuine Christians could shine the light of Christ. I remember a few years ago, there was a movie that came out called The Passion of the Christ. I believe this was 2005. Produced by Mel Gibson, or directed by Mel Gibson, who, as we all know, is not a born-again Christian. And every Christian I knew was so excited about this movie, because you got to show the world how Jesus Christ suffered on the cross and whatnot. They used to go in cinemas and have prayer meetings in the cinemas before the movie even started. That is how excited Christians were about that movie. And I sat back and I thought to myself, first of all, I've seen the movie, and I didn't think the movie was all that great, because the movie focused more on Christ's physical suffering rather than what the suffering meant. There was nothing in the movie that communicated that he was dying for the sins of the world. I more came away with the idea that here was a man suffering and his poor mother had to watch this. And two, this movie is being directed by Mel Gibson, who is not a Christian. And everybody is so excited now because here is Mel Gibson, a prominent celebrity, proclaiming the message of Christ. And I thought to myself, all it takes is for Mel Gibson to do something stupid, and then this whole thing just falls flat. There are a lot of unsaved people in the church who could potentially give Christianity a bad name, and who have given Christianity a bad name. But we who are the genuine Christians are called to shine the light of Christ. Even though we are not perfect, we could still shine the light of Christ so that people could see Christ in us and glorify God. There are three keys that we need to understand in order to shine the light of Christ. The first thing we need to understand is that Jesus is the light of the world, but we are also the light of the world. In John chapter 9 verse 5, Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So that strongly implies that now that Jesus is no longer the light of the world, we are now the light of the world. Philippians 2:15 says that we may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. So we are the ones called to shine the light of the world. But the first concept we need to understand is that although Jesus is the light of the world, we can't just sit back and say, well, Jesus is the light of the world. We have to be the light of the world. There's a song we sing in praise and worship that has the line, "Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see for the glory of the risen King." And it is a prayer to Jesus, "Lord, please shine your light." That is missing the point. Because we are praying to Jesus to do something that he is telling us to do. He is telling us, "You are the light of the world. You shine your light so all men may see, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It is our job to shine the light of Christ. Yes, he is the light of the world, but that in itself means absolutely nothing, because Jesus' light shines through us. It doesn't shine from the sky. It doesn't shine from the horizon. It shines through us, his people who reflect his light. The second thing that we need to understand is that the Bible is not just a book written on pages, or it's not just an app on your phone or a website. The Bible is meant to be in you. The Bible is meant to be written in our hearts. We are the Bible. Paul says, "You are our epistles written in our hearts." I know a lot of people who talk the Bible, but we are called to walk the Bible, not just talk it, but live it. And the third thing, Matthew chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do a good deed, do not sound your trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I tell you that they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." So that may sound like a contradiction, because on one hand, Jesus is telling us, do your good works so that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But on the other hand, he is saying, don't do it so that men will see. So the point is this: we are called to do our good works before men. We are called to shine the light of Christ. But it's a question of intention. We can't do it just so that we will get the glory. We have to do it in such a way that God will get the glory. So those are three things that we need to be mindful of before we can truly be the light of the world and shine the light of Christ. God bless you.
Join us again for our next program. Find us online at BibleIssues.org. Join us also on our Facebook group. To be able to access the group, go to BibleIssues.org, where you will find the link. If you missed any of our broadcasts, you can catch up online at BibleIssues.org. Look for the audio sermons link. God bless you and hope you join us next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.